that Tanya and I are involved in here on Twitter. A lot of them, of course, will have questions about COVID, long COVID, how to treat it. I've been doing spaces since it started about supplements. A lot of what you've talked about, doing the preventative with quercetin and zinc and vitamin D3, but I'm going to let you talk on that. And then even if someone has had the vaccine and they're getting sick through maybe a variant, the Delta variant, what can they do? Because there are treatments out there that people just are not aware of, and maybe you can speak on that. And then discuss a little bit about your pioneering treatments in TBI, which I lost a friend to TBI. I was an athlete my whole life. I don't want to go into my athletic career, but I lost a close buddy to TBI, and we have people that are suffering because I live in a military community. We have a lot of people that are suffering from PTSD. And maybe you can shed some light on some maybe treatments that are not well known, for patients.
I pop holes in people's buttholes with PTSD. I don't believe in it.
Yeah, and I want you to share some light on your experience and your experience with TBI.
So let's go ahead and start. It is now 7:02. I am recording per se. It's Asa. So make sure everyone in this space know that we are recording this for a replay, and it will be distributed all over all seven of my platforms. So just FYI. And today, Mark, thank you so much, Dr. Mark Gordon, for joining us today. He is an author and a endocrinologist, and also I have a good bio here. Did you want to go? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I mean, I could read it, but I think it would be better.
I don't want to tell anybody about my my history of bio. It'll take you a long time and it'll take you a short time. I just am very well focused on the neuroendocrine, which is moons of the brain, and how they're influenced by things we are exposed to in our life, like automobile accidents, chronic stress, war zones. Being in the military, playing football, having someone yell at you all the time, or being in a bad relationship or bad employment, because it increases chemistry in the brain that leads to neuropsychiatric illnesses like depression, anxiety, bipolar. The word they use, which I don't really agree with, post-traumatic stress disorder or PTS or PTSD, as an option, almost like an option, and telling people had mild traumatic brain injury or concussion or CTE. These are all labels that we give people that, we now treat labels. We don't treat people. We need to go back to treating people and ignore the labels. And the only way you can treat the people is by understanding the mechanisms by which these conditions develop. And that's what I've spent the last 20 plus years doing, having suffered from, traumatic brain injury and developing depression back in the 90s, which led me down this pathway that I've been on for 27 years of actually being under treatment myself. So the first thing is to understand that we label things and we have symptoms that develop that we've labeled. And the question is, how did they develop? What's the underlying cause? Do we want to treat it with medication that masks it? Or do we want to go to the root cause and treat the mechanism by which it develops? And that's what I do in neuroendocrinology. Yeah, you could talk about ESPN, outside the line, the NFL that I work with, the military special ops, writing the paper for the White House, dealing with the Pentagon, dealing with the Marines and the SEAL team, and a whole bunch of great people that need to have their condition looked at a little bit more critically. And that's what I do. Who I am? I'm a father of three absolutely gorgeous daughters. Two of them are docs. One's an incredible designer of jewelry. And I practice in Encino, California, although I have licenses in a number of states. For the present time, for the next 10 months, practice in California until I can get out to another state. And, have websites which are basically educational so that people don't have to call us. They can go to the website and see lots of information on what it is we do and articles defining it in English, in regular English, what it is that we're looking for. So that's a little background of who I'm and where I came from.
You know, I was looking through my email. I remember when you went on Joe Rogan back in 2014.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you did that whole show was bound with the military.
Yep.
It was about some Navy. Oh my God, I wrote it down here. Yeah, it was May 11th, 2014. You did a talk about military and TBI. Can you tell us about that? It's like, what causes TBI? I mean, like, since you don't believe in PTSD, then what about TBI?
I'll explain why I don't believe in PTSD, but traumatic brain injury, you know, the interpretation of what it is or the definition of what it is has usually been very stringent. It's your loss of consciousness or near loss of consciousness with memory problems, this, that, and the other. And that's mild to, you know, moderate traumatic brain injury. But a lot of us have small insults. Like I had a lot of small insults. I never lost consciousness, but in my 40s is when I started developing symptoms. So what traumatic brain injury is a process where an injury, whether or not it's a slip and fall, assault on the head, skiing, surfing, water skiing, horseback riding, working with a pneumatic drill, being exposed to blasts or shooting a gun repetitively, it creates a disruption of the brain by creating inflammation. And that inflammation is what starts changing the chemistry of communication in the brain. So that we need, like, a phone line. You need an old-school phone line. You need a line from phone to phone. If you cut it, you can't communicate. Well, what happens in the brain is the inflammation is like a pair of scissors that cuts the lines of information or communication between different areas of the brain. And certain areas of the brain, like the frontal lobe, deal with executive function, decisions, making the right choices on decisions. The back of the brain, the occipital, deals with vision, temporal and bridle, with language and conversion and translation of vision to language, occipital. And these become disrupted, as well as the chemistry that makes us calm, cool, and collective, whether or not it's, you know, a valium-like product like pregnenolone or GABA or serotonin or epinephrine and norepinephrine or dopamine or all these hormones. They have to be produced somehow, manufactured. And inflammation causes the ability of our brain to manufacture these chemicals or these hormones to go down. So when you lose the ability to communicate or to generate these neurotransmitters that allow us to cool, calm, and collective, you become the opposite. You become reactive. You become depressed. So it's all about the change in the chemistry in the brain. And the reason why I find difficulty in now buying into this concept of post-traumatic stress disorder is because the premise of PTSD is one in which people are exposed to stressful situations or they witness a horrific situation. The question is, what happens in the brain, in the chemistry of the brain when that happens, is that you get a hormone called cortisol goes up, and cortisol shuts off a chemical called fractalkin. And fractalkin is what keeps the brain non-inflamed. It controls the manufacturing of inflammatory chemistry, which comes from our immune system and from specific cells called microglia. And they're like the white blood cells that circulate around your body, and they produce chemistry to fight off certain situations. But under chronic stress, never ever having a trauma, but being exposed to chronic stress, you get a release of this, a loss of fractalkin, which allows the cells to produce a lot of inflammatory chemicals called cytokines. And these cytokines create the inflammation that create the same kind of disruption of the brain's chemistry as being hit on the head. IED, mortar fire, gunfire, slip and fall, being in an auto accident. And it creates the same grouping of symptoms. So when you parallel, when you side by side, by someone with quote-unquote TBI, mild TBI, and someone who has PTSD, the symptomatology is very, very similar. And the experts in psychiatry are trying to always show that there's a great difference between the two. But you look at how to treat them, and we treat them the same in our practice, and we get the same great outcomes.
Wow. So it just really is, it's the inflammatory factor that is
correct.
Produced.
It's inflammation. And one of the analogies I use is, you know, you can either have one large trauma, one big trauma, we'll call that a dollar, or you can have 10 small traumas, we'll call those 10 cents. And you can have 10 dimes or $1, they both equal 100. So you don't have to have being knocked unconscious. I mean, 85% of the people who have been knocked unconscious that develop the symptoms of TBI or PTSD, they have no findings on CT scan or MRI. So the question is, so what's going on? And they're now starting to look closely or look more so at this inflammatory density that happens after trauma. And they're starting to find these inflammatory chemicals like interleukin 1, 1B, 6, and tumor necrosis factor alpha, which creates the disruption of the chemistry in the brain. So it's all inflammatory. And if you look, all diseases can be looked at as arising from inflammation. Cancer, heart disease, blood disease, bone marrow problems, cognitive problems as we get older, Alzheimer's disease, multiple sclerosis, ALS, Parkinson's, they're all inflammatory conditions. And if you address the inflammation while supplementing with the missing components or providing the stimulation for the missing products like dopamine and Parkinson's disease, you can increase that with testosterone of all things as one component of the treatment protocol.
Doctor, why do you see that growth hormone and hormones in the body go down after traumatic brain injury?
Great, great question, Brian. What happens is, and it's funny, I'm going tomorrow to lecture on this topic. So what causes all our hormones, not only growth hormone, but testosterone and thyroid and prolactin, what causes all of them to decrease is because the regulatory system in our brain, it's the hypothalamus, the pituitary releases chemicals that go to our peripheral glands, whether or not it's the gonads, males, testicles, or females, ovaries, or to the adrenal glands, or to the thyroid, or to the liver, where the majority of our growth factors are generated. What happens is the regulatory mechanism in the hypothalamus is damaged. And in fact, there was a sweet article that came out at the beginning of this year that showed the inflammation shut off a chemical which stopped the hypothalamus, the pituitary, releasing a chemical to tell it to make luteinizing hormone, which is the starter for all our hormones. So you lose all the hormones starting from pregnenolone, which is the mother of all hormones. So trauma creates inflammation. Inflammation disrupts the hypothalamus' ability to make the hormone signals for your body to create the hormones.
So you basically have a cumulative approach to treating it with anti-inflammatories, maybe hormones like growth hormone or peptides or testosterone.
Absolutely. Our treatment protocol is based upon a 28-point biomarker panel. And that 28-point biomarker panel has results which reflect on the science that's available showing that when this pattern occurs, it's due to trauma over here, or because of the drop in luteinizing hormone, where we have all the other pituitary hormones, just isolated luteinizing hormone, it's coming from the hypothalamus more than likely. So based upon these 28 points, what we do is we replenish the deficient hormones. And in one of the things that we've been doing for the past 10, 12 years is we don't use injectable testosterone as a starting point. We don't use injectable growth hormone as a starting point. What we do is try to encourage the individual's body to start remaking its own. And in fact, in January of this year, we started a project with our veterans where we put them on to an anti-inflammatory regimen and monitor their hormones that are deficient. The number one hormone that's deficient is testosterone and then growth hormone. And what we found is that within 90 days, they have a doubling of their natural production of luteinizing hormone, which stimulates natural production of testosterone. So instead of giving them a supplemental hormone, which will shut down their system for a longer period of time, we do everything we can to try and encourage their own body to come back online. And after 6 months, if it doesn't appear like it's happening, then what we'll do is we'll go to Plan B, which might be smaller amounts of testosterone, or we use secretagogues, which are growth hormone stimulators like secretropin or dinotropin to increase the production of growth hormone. Secretropin has been out there since 2001 in the hands of physicians, so we know it's a validated by use by physicians for stimulating growth hormone production anywhere between 20 to as high as 600% in one patient. So we replenish everything, and we, in December of last year, we also found that with our anti-inflammatory regimen, which is made up of three very key products, which are liposomal, they're liquid forms of products. And we have now a 47% reduction in ringing in the ears called tinnitus. And I had to go back and start reading about tinnitus because it wasn't what we wanted to do, but people were documenting that their ringing in their ears or their tinnitus had been improving. In fact, my Green Beret partner, Andrew Marr, had 100% reversal in his tinnitus, and he was in the Army, Green Beret, doing explosives ordnance demolition, EOD. And because of his response, I went back into our population since January, had been surveying patients to find out how their tinnitus is, and it's another marker of inflammation. So we know that our anti-inflammatory products are working very well for reducing the inflammation. Also, personality changes, sleeping better. Inflammation is associated with insomnia, migraines, headaches, visual disruption, and it's all in the scientific literature. It's nothing I've developed. I mean, I'm not that smart to write these articles, but I am smart enough to apply the science of these brilliant researchers on the bench, meaning the research people, and bring it into a clinical setting. And that's called translational medicine, where someone takes the research, the science, and applies it in a clinical session. Now, it took me 16 years to develop, with my daughter Allison, to develop a line of products which have reversed a lot of the symptoms that are associated with TBI, or if you will, PTSD. And that was our project with the Marines last year and with the Marines, veteran Marines this year. So we know that it works.
So let me go ahead and pull the room back. Let me let you know that Dr. Mark Gordon is on my landline. He's up in the mountains, and so the signal wasn't that great. So that's why you guys are hearing it from my audio, from my end. So just want to let you know. I just got some DM asking me about it. They're like, where is Mark Gordon? He's here. He's just having a signal problem with his phone. So does he sound okay with everyone? Can you give me 100?
Yeah, put up 100, guys, if you can hear him okay. Put up 100.
I'm trying to enunciate,
though.
We have quite a bit of hundreds.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
You're good.
Super. Thank you, everybody.
We have quite a few people that are suffering from inflammatory diseases. It's autoimmune disease related from the inflammation. Does your 28-point protocol with that help them with some of their things that they're suffering from that are inflammation-based?
Yes and no. Yes, it will help them define how the inflammation from things like Hashimoto's thyroiditis, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, irritable bowel syndrome, ulcerative colitis, psoriatic arthritis, lupus erythematosus, and a whole litany of other autoimmune diseases. Yes, the markers will help to tell us if their inflammatory illness is influencing their brain's production of hormones. Now, what I do instead of expensing, I'm trying to find a way where it's as inexpensive as can be, and what we've worked on, and that was the project with the Marines, is that we're addressing the inflammatory autoimmune conditions, even multiple sclerosis, and we have one patient with ALS that in 90 days has already noticed improvement in his ALS symptoms. So we address the inflammation using three products. If I may, one is called Brain Care 2, the other one is B is for Brain, and the third one is Clear Mind and Energy, which each one of them was developed and released to a military organization or group. Clear Mind and Energy was for brain clarity, was released with the Navy SEALs in Virginia in March of 2017 when Andrew and I were invited to lecture for them. And then Brain Care 2, which is our key anti-inflammatory product. It's a liquid with six products in it. It's not just a liquid, but it's called nanoliposomal or liposomal delivery. It's a patented technology that helps to deliver into the bloodstream rapidly the products that you take by mouth. Powders don't absorb well. So we started off using only powders to develop our products. And then when we got to the right combination, we converted them to liposomal for with fast absorption. So we've been putting people with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Hashimoto's, rheumatoid, Ehlers-Danlos, MS, onto the three liquids and monitoring them. I can supply you after the fact with two letters that came into us on two Alzheimer's patients that had significant improvement. And the same anti-inflammatory products as Brain Care 2 is what we've been using for what they're calling long COVID. Now, last year in January, March, April, and May, I wrote three papers which are on my website, and they addressed COVID. And the third one was in May of last year, which anticipated a syndrome of inflammation after COVID, which people have now are calling long COVID. We're understanding that COVID initiates a large dumping of these inflammatory cytokines, and that knowing from my end that cytokines, once they're turned on, that they can last for 17 years. There are studies showing the cytokines, once they're activated under a chronic scenario, will stay active for 17 years. And therefore, having seen that in our traumatic brain injury individuals, I showed the science from what I do relative to viral infections. It happens with encephalitis, with equine encephalitis, with meningitis, these chronic conditions. So it made sense that the COVID viruses, the SARS virus or influenza virus or mononucleosis virus or any of the viruses that get into our system that cause chronic inflammation, also Lyme's disease, we've been able to improve and to reverse. And so with this long haul, it's all about modulating, quieting down the brain's production of these inflammatory cytokines. So that's, again, another area that we, are not actively working, but individuals are coming to us, and this is the response, try it, see how it is. And I know because my youngest daughter, who's the jeweler, works in downtown Los Angeles, her partner there, I'll just call him Ron, developed COVID on a Wednesday, and he had been working with my daughter for weeks on end, and he just came into the office, wasn't feeling good. My daughter suggested he get a COVID test. It turned out to be positive. That was Wednesday. On Friday, he's hospitalized at Kaiser with COVID problems, breathing, fever, so forth. He goes into the hospital on Friday, and they end up discharging him on Sunday. He had miraculously gotten better rapidly, faster than they had seen. So he gets discharged on Sunday. On Monday, you know, I come home, and my daughter is on the phone yelling at someone. It turns out to be Ron. She says he's crazy. So I spoke to him, and we ended up sending him the Brain Care 2, and he took a teaspoon before breakfast, a teaspoon before dinner for 3 days, and he calmed down. He wasn't as reactive, and he stayed on it for 2 weeks, and he was fine after that. But this is about the inflammation. So they never asked him what was he doing to help with his COVID, because they hadn't seen someone. He's 31 years of age. Back in the emergency room, first thing he said to him, "Do you have a will?" Which freaked him out more than his COVID condition, you know, 31 years of age. So what happened was no one asked him, you know, if he was doing anything special. Well, on Wednesday, when he was with my daughter, Rochelle, she handed him quercetin and zinc citrate and told him to take it in the pattern that he takes it. Was to take it, and it accelerated his feeling better. So from Wednesday getting sick until he was discharged on Sunday was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 5 days, and then he had symptoms for three more days. So in 8 days, he is, you know, he was scot-free, back working at day nine, I think it was, back in working without any symptoms.
Dr. Court, can you talk a little bit about zinc and quercetin and vitamin D3 and how they help in long COVID or people that have contracted COVID or just as a preventive supplement?
Sure. I'll refer people first to the January Joe Rogan. I think the number is 1589, where he pushed me to explain what I'm going to try to explain to you in a very short amount of time, but more extensive is on that Joe Rogan podcast on, not Shopify, it's, what is it called?
Spotify?
Spotify, thank you, Spotify. So anyway, what we talked about was the science, and here's what the science has. Zinc blocks the ability of COVID, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, stops influenza A and B, stops rhinovirus, which infects the nose, gives that sinus headache and sinus infection, and enterovirus, which infects the gut and gives you summertime diarrhea. They all have something in common, which is something called replicase. And it turns out that replicase is very sensitive to zinc. So zinc will cause replicase, which is released by the virus, all those viruses, into the cell, and it wants to take over the mechanism of the cell's replication at the ribosomes, which is where manufacturing is done. Well, it releases this replicase to take over the control, and if there's zinc in the cell, adequate amount of zinc, it impedes the ability of replicase to work. Now, where quercetin comes into play is the same way that bismuth, EGCG, which comes from green tea extract, hydroxychloroquine, and turmeric, all are called ionophores. Ionophores are ion transporters, ionophore, and they transport charged metals into the cell. And the one we're talking about is zinc, which has a charge on it. And so any of those products, quercetin primarily, brings it into the cell, so it increases the intracellular production or presence of zinc, so it can defend against the virus. Vitamin D works through stabilizing the immune system. There are some articles out there that looked at its ability to impede viral replication by interrupting the means by which the virus in its unique pathway gets into our cells. It uses a receptor called an ACE receptor to get into our cells. So if you block that receptor or you manipulate the enzyme system that allows it to use it, it'll block the ability of the virus to get into the cell. Additionally, vitamin D is an incredible modulator of our immune system. So the immune system under exposure to viral infections like SARS will throw the train off the tracks. What vitamin D does is keeps everything on the track and running smoothly and controlled. So you don't have as much inflammation that leads to the problems with all the organs throughout our body. So that's vitamin D. The only problem is the dosing that's being used is generically out there very low because the perception is that vitamin D is toxic. Now, there are lots of phenomenal research studies out there that show that vitamin D is very rarely toxic. And what makes it toxic isn't necessarily the vitamin D, but what vitamin D does. And what vitamin D does is it causes absorption of calcium from the gut. Too high of calcium, called hyperkalemia, can cause calcemia. It can cause the nausea, vomiting, irregular heartbeat, tingling of the fingers and so forth, coma, if the calcium level gets up too high. But if you monitor the calcium and you make sure that it's in the 80 to 90 percentile, the likelihood of something happening is very little. I haven't had a single patient in over 3,000 patients on high doses of vitamin D develop any side effects. And in fact, in one study where they looked at 97,000 cases of elevated vitamin D, only 4 people had toxicity from the calcium due to the vitamin D, and they had, you know, the nausea, vomiting, and so forth. And all 4 of them were taking a liquid form of vitamin D. We use a capsule, a pure form of vitamin D, so we don't get it. Vitamin C is an antioxidant. It helps. They believe vitamin C directly alters the infectious nature of the virus. Let's see what else is on the list.
Some of the big things. Liposomal C is the one that people are taking, okay. And of course the big one that people have been going after is NAC or glutathione to reduce some of the cytokines.
Right. Well, that's right. N-acetylcysteine, unfortunately, in August was pulled off the market because N-acetylcysteine is Mucormist, which is a prescribed product that's been over the counter for many years. It's just been a battle to get it off the market, off the OTC market, over the counter market, because it's such a phenomenal natural blue amino acid product for regulating inflammation. In fact, we had to remove our N-acetylcysteine from our brain KO2 and substitute in glutathione and still getting the same benefits. And when you mix glutathione with tocopherol, which is vitamin E, what happens is you get an amplified reduction in inflammation. And quercetin, the reason why I like quercetin so much is because it has some really neat additional benefits that other things like turmeric and bismuth do not have, or ETCG, they do not have. Quercetin will upregulate mitochondrial production. It's called mitochondriogenesis. So you get more mitochondria, so you generate more ATP, which is the energy of our body, and more energy, more ability to create and defend ourselves. It also directly drops the trigger for the cytokines called NF-kappa-B. Hydroxychloroquine does that. So hydroxychloroquine, the drug, is an ionophore, also modulates inflammation in the body. So liposomal vitamin C is good because vitamin C, if you were to take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C in a capsule form, you only absorb 19%. When you take it in a liposomal formulation, you absorb 94 to 97%. So less will go into the toilet, more will go into your body. So liposomal is very good.
Dr. Gordon, it was mentioned, I think you maybe said on Carl's show that you take over 50,000 IUs a week. Is that right?
On Logan's show, and I take a 50,000 unit tubal tablet on Mondays, And on Tuesday through Sunday, I take 10,000 to 20,000.
So roughly about 70,000 plus units a week. Is that correct?
I take 100 to 130,000 a week.
Okay. Yeah, because when people, when I say, hey, take five, you know, what I was saying, I take 5,000, I use a week, people are like, oh, that's crazy. What are you doing? And I had my levels checked in May, and I'm a surfer. I live in the Navy SEAL area, so you've been in Virginia, and I'm a surfer. And my levels were on the low side, so when I was taking 5,000 IUs, it's not even enough. It wasn't even cracking it.
Right. I have surfers here who are in the teens. Okay, yes, the water's a little colder here in California. It's probably, I've never surfed on your side. Here, the water tends to be on the cold side, so they wear wetsuits, but their legs are usually exposed and their arms are exposed. They're wearing, you know, an upper vest kind of wetsuit. And they're in the teens. And part of the problem with is absorption. We are not taking the products at the optimal time for absorption. So things like fat-soluble hormones, DHEA, vitamin D, and pregnenolone should all be taken about 15 to 30 minutes after a meal. I take my vitamin D in the morning after my breakfast, and I take my DHEA and pregnenolone after dinner, 15 to 30 minutes after dinner. And what happens is it assists in absorption. I do have some people who do the fasting, but they will take either a teaspoon of avocado oil or virgin olive oil or krill oil in the morning right before they take their vitamin D to help with absorption. Or they might embellish their nighttime meal with an oil, whether or not it's avocados naturally or other forms of healthy fatty acids to help with absorption. And that's part of the reason why people who are taking these vitamin D specifically and tocopherol, which is a fat-soluble one also, aren't getting the levels is because they're not taking it appropriately. They're taking it before a meal as opposed to taking it to absorb.
And if you could tell how important gut health is, because there's a lot of people in this community that have gut issues that are not absorbing their nutrients and their vitamins, and they have all kinds of gut issues.
Yeah. Well, dysbiosis is great. You brought that up. It's something that has been missed. Now, I said I have three daughters, two of them are docs. The one that works with me, Allison Michelle, is a naturopathic doc who presently is probably the best trained neuroendocrinologist in neuroendocrinology. And she applies her gut brain science to our military, and they get better faster. When she addresses dysbiosis, which is inflammation of the gut, which can be caused by chronic stress, alcohol, medication, anti-inflammatory drugs, by antibiotics, having taken antibiotics and thrown off your natural biome, the gut bacteria, and not taking the right form of probiotics, to help regenerate the gut. Otherwise, you end up with leaky gut syndrome, higher occurrence of allergies, and the gut-brain syndrome, which is can be depression, irritability, mood swings, panic. We've seen it all. I mean, she's seen it all. So addressing the gut is very, very important. So it's a good point you made, what you brought up.
Dr. Gordon, just going back to TBI for a second, there's not a lot of docs that are familiar with your research and your protocol. When I talk, peptides like growth hormone releasing hormone and things of that nature, that goes right over their head, which can reduce inflammation, in the brain. Can you talk about where people can find a doc that would even do simple blood tests like vitamin D and zinc and so on?
Right. That's the reason why since 2000, Tanya and I meet.
We met so long ago.
When my first book came out, Interventional Endocrinology, it talked about that issue of finding a doctor as well as what to anticipate in a doctor. And what you can ask if the patient or the candidate or the client is well educated, what it'll mean is that when they do address their requests with a doctor, they have the armamentarium, the knowledge to share with the doctor that doing a liver panel, doing a cholesterol panel, doing a blood test, red blood cells and so forth, is a peripheral, important but peripheral of laboratory testing. And you want more core products. You want the whole hormones checked. You just don't want testosterone. You want thyroid, reverse T3. You want lactin, you want pregnenolone, you want estrogen, estradiol, you want all these hormones because they paint the picture. It's like, you're putting together a digital picture and you're only given 10 pixels to make a, 10 by 24 by 10 by 80 by 10 by 80 picture. You're not going to see very much. And that's what really blows me out of the water. Institutes like UCLA, I see people that go through their wellness program and there's little important stuff on there. Yeah, they've got the cardiac related stuff, but what causes the lining of the arteries to build up the calcium? Inflammation. So if you don't have inflammation, you don't build up the atherosclerotic disease. So we've been training patients for the past almost 20 years. In the past, since 2015, when the third book came out on TBI, we've been training. And in fact, November 4th in Dallas, Texas, I'll be training another group of docs. So if they go to my primary website and go to the team, TBI team, you'll find doctors. There's about 53 centers that we have right now, and we're in the process of expanding that. And they're not mine. I give the education to these doctors to build a center in their states to, provide a service that is not commonly being done. And we have the science behind it. And we, my background before medicine was computer electronics. My father died of bone cancer. That's what led me into medicine. But I kept my skills with computer. And I just finished a 5-year project and took everything that I do in my mental processing for a determined interpretation of the labs production of a treatment protocol into a software package, into an application. And it helps doctors who are just starting out in testosterone replacement therapy, hormone replacement therapy, interventional endocrinology, anti-aging medicine, age management medicine. It helps to accelerate them. Now, my middle daughter, Allison, it took me 18 months of her working with me almost on a daily basis with hundreds of cases to develop the expertise or the knowledge she has right now. The software package does it in 15 minutes. So all you need to do is know the labs to do, place it into the program along with the laboratory, the medication they're on, past medical history, any surgeries that they have had, and it produces a four-page report interpreting the labs, giving diagnoses, as well as giving you a page of, okay, you got the diagnoses, we got the lab results, here's how you fix it. So we've got 53 clinics in 7 countries that are now utilizing it in the alpha testing. It went alpha in January this year, and it'll be released in a full-blown version September 21st this month. So what it'll do is it'll allow doctors, healthcare providers, we have naturopaths, we have PAs, DOs, MDs, of course, NDs, PAs, NPs, nurse practitioners. We have the entire spectrum of healthcare providers. Even doctors of chiropractic medicine have taken our course and are utilizing the software in order to have an efficiency level, similar to what I have. No, I don't call myself an expert. I just call myself well-read. Let's call themselves experts. So that's basically how they can get access to it. Try first with their doctors. A lot of doctors don't have understanding of the importance of the hormones because of their training, just like me, years, 18 years from when I started in my training in residency to get to the point where I said, oh, I got to start looking at hormones. Majority of docs right now have been told that hormones, testosterone bad, causes heart attack or cancer, growth hormone causes cancer. In my lecture I'm giving tomorrow, talking about growth hormone and secretagogues and apomorphine and surmorelin and all the things out there. Growth hormone, when you stimulate growth hormone, it turns on two anti-cancer products, binding protein 3 and binding protein 4, which counteract cancer. The real reason why I believe we're getting more cancer is more inflammation from our lousy nutrition, our air, our water, and the fact that we're not putting the right things into our system to take care of the extra free radicals or the oxidative stress that creates the inflammation and heart disease inflammation. So this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to, you know, push the envelope to get more of the information. That's all the science. I mean, it's out there. Google Scholar, Google. You know, it's on Google.
So we have like 15 minutes. I wanted to open up the mic for some people.
Absolutely.
Brian, did anybody DM you or want to have some questions?
I have a couple people that want to ask questions.
Let's bring them up.
So, Dr. Gordon, I'd love to chat with you after this by email because I have, I work with other trainers and colleges that would love to implement your kind of plan if it's, at the college level.
I'm at medical schools, I'm at Baylor, I'm at University of Maryland with someone there. I want to give this science lab, offer it to, to the people I work with at the Pentagon and so forth. I want to just give the science and technology away so that we can stop what I've been working on for the past, since 2009, 12 years, is stopping the suicide from the military. That's really the key. Yeah, there's been a drop from 22 a day to 16.7, but 22 is really probably 40, back in 2010. But we are starting to see a drop in it, but at what expense? The medication that they're put on, incapacitates the majority of people. I know I see them coming in with 16 medications, 13 non-functional. Now they've got dual degrees from Harvard and MIT, like Kevin Feige in the movie Quiet Explosion, if you haven't seen it on Amazon Prime. Quiet Explosion is a documentary movie. Go ahead with the questions.
So we have Michael. He's next. He's actually a veteran. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Tanya. And I don't know the psychologist's name.
No, he's a neuroendocrinologist. His name is Dr. Mark Gordon.
I know Dr. Gordon. I mean the other co-host. I don't know.
Brian.
My name's Brian. Yeah, Michael.
I'm Michael. Dr. Gordon, thank you so very much, first of all, for coming on with Tanya and honoring us by your presence and all of your wisdom. I do have a couple of questions. One is, I had a stroke, actually it was a TIA, in 2016. And the neurologist in Boca, after they x-rayed my brain, he said, and I can't remember it, but he said, I don't remember if he said that it showed a lot of white or gray areas, and he said it's not necessarily. Yeah, so I want, and what happens is, when I go to speak, if I have a thought, I can be speaking, and sometimes when people interrupt, I totally lose, or even if they don't interrupt, I could be in the middle of my thought, and all of a sudden, it's gone. And I was told that that's one of the manifestations from the TIA back in 2016. Is there anything that I can do to get so that I don't have that kind of disability? Is there any kind of vitamins or anything that I should take?
I'm going to lash this out to everybody. You're a veteran. What branch did you serve?
I was in the Army, and my doctor for my gastroenterology. I had Crohn's disease and ended up with ileostomy. Doctor is in the VA hospital in West Palm Beach. That's who I see.
Okay, fine. The studies on growth hormone for reversing Crohn's disease is out there. articles out. But to answer your question about the TIA, TIA is transient ischemic attack. It's not a permanent thing. It goes, you know, TIA, RIND, which is reversible ischemic neurological deficit, where you have more neurological problems, but they disappear. And then you have a stroke where there is residual deficiencies that can improve over time. So having a TIA isn't the issue. The issue was your exposure to what you experienced in the Army. Even basic training exposed you to a lot of things. I know now I was at Bragg with the Green Beret and at 101st and saw what they were doing. You guys are exposed to things that are not in the field of battle. You know, here being shining, which exposed you to the same kind of symptoms. So what you're getting is an inflammatory process. We see this quite a bit, where train of thought, speech is impeded. We have a captain in the Air Force in Arizona, who in 6 weeks on our protocol, her psychiatrist and speech therapist said, you don't need us anymore. And it's by using anti-inflammatory products. What I'll do is I'll leave information with Brian and Tanya, how to access the products at my website, and then a code, a checkout code, which will give you a discount. Now, what I want to make public is the fact that I'm self-funded. I develop products and do work, lecture and so forth, sell books, and it goes into our veterans funds. So Andrew Marr from Warrior Angel Foundation and I have supported almost 500 veterans into our program. Our presence on Joe Rogan was a boon for me because it generated a significant amount of funds, so that so far this year, we've assisted over 110 veterans into the program and 11 female veterans from my new state of Texas, where I have my new license, medical license. We paid for them to come into the program, and we're getting, you know, a response since January in 6 months where they're 70% better than they were destitute before. So if you go to my website, you're a veteran, and you want to get access to what we have, just go there and put in a request for enrollment. If that's how you want to be. But what we've developed is a non-physician program, which is called the TriPack or Brain Rescue 3 product, which is on the website. And that's what we did our 50 Marine program on. They had a 65%, 64.97% improvement in 90 days. And that includes 20 different points, migraines, insomnia, headaches, depression, anxiety, sense of well-being, libido, exercise, and that paper is posted on my primary website under, I think it's called the Nutraceutical Marine Project. So we did two, one last year and one this year. Anyway, so your issue, the white dots are areas of old trauma from something that happened, and they're called calcifications or microcalcifications. They could be due to break of a neuron. They could be due to leaking of a blood vessel that creates this inflammation that creates those little white dots. Okay? So we shouldn't be treating the white dots. We should be treating the inflammation that causes them.
Dr. Gordon, we have another question.
Just so you're also aware, when I went into the Delray Medical Center here where I live, they actually misdiagnosed it. My mother had come to the emergency room, et cetera, et cetera. And they did a battery of tests originally, but they never tested me for a stroke, and they let me go home. When I got home, I called my primary care physician. He took one look at me and sent me over to Boca to the neurologist, and the rest you know. So just because you go to a hospital doesn't mean that they're going to get it right all the time, because they were wrong on the diagnosis, because the neurologist screened me and said you definitely had a TIA and a possibility that it could have been a stroke. That's how it was worded to me in front of my mother.
Gotcha. There's two separate things. TIA and stroke are two different. Discriminations, you know, as I said, TIA, RIND, stroke.
Yeah, I think it was just a TIA, doctor. I mean, like I said, he said both, I probably should go back and ask them that I didn't.
That's all in the history. You see, I work from today forward. The history can be misdirecting as it has been in the majority of the cases I see. Okay?
Mego, go ahead, Mego, your question.
Hi, Dr. Gordon.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Megan. I've actually suffered with MS for 10 plus years, but like you said, the doctors got it wrong for about 8 years. They couldn't find anything. One of my first symptoms was trouble swallowing, and they would treat me like I was crazy. Now that I've been diagnosed, my neurologist is kind of perplexed because I have more lesions on my brain than I do on my spine. I was actually wheelchair bound for about 6 months. And thought I wasn't going to be able to walk again, but through yoga and an anti-inflammatory diet, I taught myself to walk again. The thing I'm battling the most is fatigue. No matter what I do, I cannot get rid of it. They want to prescribe me Adderall for it. I do not want to take Adderall for it. My vitamin D levels are still low, even though I take quite a bit of vitamin D. So it's maybe the absorption, because I was listening to you saying the different times and after a meal. But see, then there's that problem too, is that I recently had surgery where a portion of my intestines were removed because of gastroparesis from my nerves being damaged in my intestines. Mm-hmm. But I'm still having really bad intestinal issues, and it's kind of scaring me to where, like, I can't eat. No desire to eat. I feel full all the time, and I am irritable and cranky because of it. And I don't know what to do to resolve that. I've talked to my neurologist about it. I'm not quite sure I really like my neurologist, to be honest with you.
Yeah, understandable. And it's not his fault, okay?
Right.
It's because your expectations are greater than his production. So the things that you described are relative to MS, I got it. A question for you, did you ever have any kind of physical traumas throughout your life?
Yeah, this is actually kind of funny. Well, not funny, but I gave birth to my daughter when she was a year old. I got into a really bad car accident. Mm-hmm. I was sideswiped by a drunk driver. And it herniated several of my discs from my tailbone all the way up to my neck, which is why mm-hmm. the nerve pain, the burning, they would attribute it to my back, when all along it was a mess. But that's when the symptoms started, which shortly after that.
Yeah, Megan, the reason why I asked is because in Alzheimer's, in multiple sclerosis, in Parkinson's, what we look close in all our traumatic brain and all our symptomatology, we look very close at history of trauma. Because what happens with the trauma is it generates these inflammatory parameters in the brain. And there was an article talking about pregnenolone for MS, anti-inflammatory. So we have a Navy SEAL who's on the IV treatment with the VA. 30 days on our protocol, and he was 40% better. 60 days, he was 50% better. That was his case. And I hate telling people about other cases because, you know, everybody has anticipations. Oh, I'll be the same. No, everybody is unique. It might take you 6 months, a year, 9 months. I don't know. We have three veterans who are wheelchair dependent. Each one took their own time to get better. One was 9 months, another one was 13, 14 months, and another one was 18 months. So don't know, you know, how long it's going to take for anything, but you have to address the etiology, the cause. Blood tests that can be done are something called interleukin 1, 1B, 6, and TNF-alpha. And that will tell whoever does the test whether or not you have elevation of inflammation in your body. But sometimes it comes back false, meaning that it doesn't tell us anything. But we still treat with our inflammatory product. Now, fatigue is one of the
in people with TBI. Inflammation. If you go on to Google Scholar Google and look up fatigue plus inflammation, you'll see a couple of million articles. If you look at depression plus inflammation, you'll see another group of million articles. You look at inflammation heart, you'll see 2 million articles. A lot of articles talking about disruption of systems in our body because of inflammation. And that's back to square one where we sit. It's all about inflammation. So, you know, getting on the next level of inflammatory treatment would help you.
I do an infusion. Every few months. Now, what was the one you were speaking about? You said that the veteran took. What is it called?
He was on the TriPack.
How do you spell that?
TriPack, three pack, TRIPAK.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to leave information with Brian and Tanya so that she can share it with everybody, and then she'll give you a code so you can go and try it out. And then on my website, which is tbihelpnow.org, tbihelpnow.org.
I actually pinned it to the NAS guys. It's on the NAS, by the way. It's pinned up there.
The documents are there to read. They'll explain everything we need to know, okay? And then she'll have the where you can get the products from, and it's you can access it through that same website, or you can go directly to it. Now, these products help to fund me in our studies, research, and to support our veterans. So every time someone purchases something from the site, they're actually donating to helping us with the veterans.
Wonderful. So it has all the stuff there. I could read what I would need to take, and it's anti-inflammatory stuff.
Correct.
Awesome. And, okay.
You can also access me through the tbihelpnow.org. There's a place where you can put stuff in, depending upon the amount of responses I get. Will obviously slow me down because I do have about 1,100 people I'm working with right now. But I always respond. Tanya will tell you that.
He does. So it is like 8:03. I want to be mindful of your time. I did promise you it's going to be 60 minutes long. Do we have any more questions, Brian? I want to go ahead and wrap this up because I didn't want him to like...
I just wanted to say
thank you. I appreciate that so much.
You're welcome. Reed, I'm an educator. Spent my education at USC educating new docs, and at UCLA once, and around the planet at different locations. So a lot of the stuff that I have is to take people who are not doctors and to supply them with the information so they can make a decision with their doctor on what to do. And it gives the science. So if you get the data sheet for brain care, the TriPack, if you get the data sheet, it tells you what each component does. And then there's a group of documents which have hundreds of articles to corroborate quercetin, glutathione, omega-3s, so forth and so on, that's in it, DHA. So I don't like selling things. I like informing and educating. So the products are the education. There's a lot of education. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm going to check that out today.
Dr. Gordon, thank you very much for your time. I'd love to have you back, especially if I could talk to you more about the growth hormone releasing peptides, which are popular now.
Let me do this.
And PTC-157. Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
Brian, when we're finished with this conversation, we can have an after the fact or a post discussion.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Me too.
So, Dr. Mark Gordon, I really appreciate your giving me some time and talking to you. And it's so funny, like, I take DHEA and pregnenolone, but I don't take it with a meal, which no wonder. I'm wondering why. Yeah. Yes. But I take my vitamin D with a meal. I take my vitamin D. That's, I'm obsessed with vitamin D. So, I had a friend. His name is actually one more question. I have a friend. His name is Sajad. And I know, I don't think, I don't know if his signal is good or not, but he said that he suffered from traumatic brain injury when he was young. Would that affect him as he gets older, or would that?
Absolutely. It's, you know, we adapt to it and we deal with it. I mean, he could have become, you know, a good president, but because of the trauma, you know, he reached the level that he was at, or someone who was only able to do, you know, one level of functionality because they didn't think they were able to do it anymore. They could not do it because traumatic brain injury alters not only the emotional, but it also affects cognition, memory, recall, the ability to learn new things. You know, I think you remember I went after my traumatic brain injuries and started on treatment. I ended up accumulating 7 languages. You know, and that is possible is because of the clarity that I have. I'll be 69 years of age, and most people have a tough time believing that I'm greater than 50.
That's true. 52. And don't you speak Russian and everything? Don't you speak Russian? You speak all these languages. Every time I hear him, he's like, it's crazy. So okay, we're gonna close out, but I have Sajad. I let him up to speak because we spoke about this earlier. Sajad, can you hear us?
Yes, Tonya, I hear you. Oh, thanks for this opportunity. As I said earlier, that when I was young, at age like I was 12, back to the primary school, what was like standard 7, yes, I remember. I was like just like playing football, but it was just futsal. At that time, it was not quite recognizable to the world, but it was just like a man. As I was playing football, I was trying also the futsal. The futsal itself is the hardest stuff, not like grass or astroturf. It's hard, like symmetry, kind of symmetry stuff, like time stuff.
Where you hit your head on the cement?
I'm sorry, Tanya.
Okay, I think.
So you had a head trauma. And how did it affect you?
Actually, when I hit my head on that turf, at that time, I felt like I was no longer in this world. Like I couldn't feel myself. I couldn't feel each and everything at that time. But when the time got gone to the 30 minutes to an hour, I started feeling myself, but I was like paralyzed. I couldn't move my legs even. Actual other stuff, and I was crying bleeding when I went to the emergency room at that time. The only thing I remember that they did, I think, a minor surgery, I don't know, but when I came up again, I went full up, I did the other stuff, I do my final examination on that primary level, and I did quite well. Nothing else happened at that time, but it comes a time when the place is sore. And sometimes I lose like some memories. It comes a time when I lose some memories, but other times I'm doing it, I'm doing fine. But the problem I face like anger sometimes.
Okay. Can I interject? Interject something? Jack?
Sajad.
Jack?
Yes.
Is it Jack?
No, Sajad. Sajad.
Sajad, sorry. Question for you. Do you find that the problems occur more so when you're tired or after you've exerted yourself?
I can say maybe when I use a lot of time thinking too much.
A lot of what?
When he spends a lot of time thinking.
Okay, when you spend a lot of time thinking, under stress, does it get worse under stress, physical or mental stress?
I'd say mental stress, maybe creativity stress.
Okay, so you get some worsening of your symptoms with stress, okay? And as I said, when you're under stress, cortisol goes up, and this chemical called fractalkine goes down, inflammation in the brain goes up. So when you have vacillating up and down and up and down in inflammation in the brain, that will cause greater disruption, which you can feel as being cognitive impairment or memory or irritability. And with irritability, you are more emotionally volatile. So, you know, as I said, this is the foundation of what we found, or this is the basis of everything that we look at and address is the inflammation. And as I said earlier, people who have had a trauma, they might not have any symptoms for up to 17 years. And that's because they found that the chemistry, the inflammation, the inflammatory chemistry, the interleukin, the cytokines, can stay active in your brain for up to 17 years. And why only up to 17 years? Because that's the length of the studies that they were looking at people, and 17 years happened to be the time. So yes, you can have a delay in the onset of symptoms. You can have up and down or vacillation in symptoms due to stress, physical stress. You go on and work in the garden. You go running. You work out at the gym. We have people who go to the gym and work out one day and they have to sleep for 3 days. And that's because the working out increased their inflammation, because they're prone to make inflammation because of the trauma they had. You're a young man when you had your football, soccer-related injury on that turf. But it stuck with you. It stayed with you. I was in my 40s when I started getting depressed, ended up on antidepressants, not doing well. And my injuries started at 4 years of age. I had one at four, drowned at five, bicycle accident, three car accidents, rear-ended by women who were looking at themselves in the mirrors going to Hollywood. So, you know, true story. Anyway, and it wasn't until I was in my late 40s that I developed my problem, or mid-40s. That I developed my own problems that needed medication that didn't work. And it was fortunate that I was reading a book about hormones that led me into doing my own blood test and found growth hormone, testosterone, and thyroid deficiency, which I've been on for 27 years, or about 27 years. So that's what I recommend, that you go and get a comprehensive assessment. So that someone looks a little bit deeper, but constantly doing a CBC, a liver enzymes, and cardiac enzymes are not going to identify what the chemistry is in your body. And you'll continue not getting better. You need to have someone take a look. And we just have a new center in Punta Gordo in Florida.
Really? We should talk about that.
Does he have any near California?
What part of California?
Southern California.
What about California?
She's looking for us.
Do you have any centers near California?
In California, yeah. One in San Diego and one in Los Angeles.
Are they listed on your website?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I pinned it to the nest with all the providers.
I'm sorry, what?
You're Megan, right?
Yes.
Where are you located, Megan?
I'm actually about an hour outside of Los Angeles and about two and a half hours from San Diego.
So you're in the more inland?
Yeah, I'm in the higher desert area.
Okay, fine. Yeah, we do most of our work remotely through technology. So people walk into one of our, we have 4,800 draw centers in the United States. So I don't own them. We just contract with them. And you can walk into a draw center or have someone come to your house and get your blood drawn. And then it gets sent to our lab in Florida, in Jupiter, Florida, Access Medical Lab. And it takes about a week to get our results in. We get the results in, write a report, send it to the patient. With the report is instructions to make arrangements for a one-hour-long consultation to go through the results line by line in English, not in medicalese, in English, and to discuss treatment. And the treatment is based upon, you know, thousands of patients that we've already processed through the program. And if you haven't seen the movie Quiet Explosions on Amazon Prime, take 99 minutes and take a look at it and share it with everybody. It just won the most important film of 2021 award.
It's an amazing film.
What is it called? I'm sorry. Quiet Explosions?
Yes, I'll pin it on the mess right now. I had it earlier.
And also on your website, do you have like a list of things to ask your doctor or blood work to ask for? Or can I go to that clinic and also take the results to him to show him?
Well, what happens is if you process through us, you end up getting a patient handbook, which has a four-page report that in the consult, the one-hour consult, we finalize the report. You get a copy of the report, copy of the raw labs, and about 60 pages of education to help you to understand or to support the information that we go through in the lecture and or through the consult. And you're a civilian, so it would mean you'd end up with my daughter, Allison, who's the naturopath who does a lot of gut brain stuff, as well as she takes care of all our NFL and sports and Olympics and civilians and moms and dads and sisters and brothers. I just take care of the military. Those of all the
that sounds
I
awesome. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
My pleasure.
Thank you, everybody. I think that's it. Brian, do you have any other questions? Let's go ahead and close this out.
No, I just, Dr. Mark Gordon, I know how precious your time is, and I want to thank you again for sharing your knowledge. And this is going to go a long way because I talk a lot about what you've been preaching for the last 20-some years. So I really want to thank you.
Thank you very much for being for 20 years.
Wow, Brian, I can't get over that. You know, Dr. John Crisler, so we'll talk about that later. So everyone, thank you so much. And I pinned Dr. Mark Gordon's website with all the provider that works with him. I pinned up everything that we spoke about. So if you, I will keep the space open. Go ahead and bookmark these so you can go back and check later. And again, I'm going to make a Moments album. So I'll have all this in a moment. So it'll be on my page. So you guys can, if you didn't get it, then you can go through the Moments, you know, you'll see everything. So this way we can come back and chat later. And Dr. Mark Gordon, I look forward to chatting with you next time. And Brian, we'll talk offline. And everybody have a great day. I appreciate you for showing support. And before I let you go, let me let you know how many listeners we had in total. It was pretty a lot, and then went up and then went down, and it was 154 total listeners that we had. So I'll DM everyone the link and everything. So again, Blurry, hi. So everybody have a great day, and I appreciate you, and we will chat with you later. Bye, everyone. See ya.
Bye. Thank you for holding this space.